Thank you. ಗೋಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಾಗವತಾದ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರ ಶುದ್ಧ ಶ್ರೀ ಕುಮಾರ ಸಂಜೆ ಶಿರಭಾಚಾರ್ಯನ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಗ್ರಂಥ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿರ ಪ್ರಭುಕಾರಿ ಗ್ರಂಥ ಕೋಟಿ ವಾಯುಷ್ಣವರ್ಧನ್ಯ ಇಸ್ಕಾಂಡಿ ಪಾಂಡವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಸುಭಾಂಜೆ ಶಿರ ಪ್ರಭುಕಾರಿ ಆಮಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಿ ಸಮವ್ಯಾಸ ವಾಕ್ಸಿ ರಾಮಕಾಂತಿ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ನಮನ ಓ ಗರೀಸ್ ಜಿ ಸಮಗ್ರ ಓ ಗರೀಸ್ ಜಿ ಸಮಗ್ರ ಗರೀಸ್ ಜಿ ಸಮಗ್ರ ಓ ಗರೀಸ್ ಓ ಗರೀಸ್ ಜಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓ ಗರೀಸ್ ಓ ಗರೀಸ್ ಜಿ Opportunity to become a little more purified today by coming together for this special occasion of it will be as of today begin worshiping Sri Sri Krishna Balaram. Balaram ki so it is one of many opportunities that all of us have and should take. Those who are householders, grihasthas, actually in all of the ashrams, whether it is Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyas ashram, the word ashram means one's main attention and concentration is on worshipping the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada has been very merciful, continues to be very merciful also to all of us. And this mercy is of course originating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Krishna. He is the source of all mercy. He gives us many different opportunities by which we can actually render service unto Him. Many years ago, Srila Prabhupada actually gave instructions to his various householders, Grihasthas. He mentioned that actually deity worship is especially important for householders, because in the Grihastha Ashram, we become, as most of you who are Grihasthas know and experience, we become so preoccupied by so many things, distracted is probably a better word. Distracted means we go off the track. We tend to go off the track. And we become tied up with so many activities, so many thoughts, so many family duties, responsibilities, social obligations. It is unending, practically. And especially in the way we are living presently in modern society. So family life, we know, is actually described in the Bhagavatam as being the strongest attachment, the strongest thing that we are attached to in this world is family, family matters, family ties, relationships within family. And all of that, of course, is stemming from our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. That desire is very strong. And Bhagavatam, of course, points how sex life, Kriyamedi concept, is based on actually sex life. Enjoyment separate from Krishna means sex life, either gross or subtle. So that actually is keeping us away from Krishna, and therefore our acharyas, they recommended that actually the best process, best method by which one can refocus, redirect one's attention to the lotus feet of the Lord is by having the Archa Vigraha, deeply form of the Lord within one's own home. And in this way, although the standards in deity worship at home may not be, generally will not be as high as in the temple, but some minimum standard should be there. So we were discussing a few days before some kind of standard. Family life actually also means regulated life. In all of our ashram means regulated life. Regulated life means a life of responsibility. If we're not regulated, we're not responsible. So of course, when we install deities such as Krishna Balaram, then actually we are reminded of Vrindavan, which is very nice, because we don't get that much opportunity to think or to be reminded of Vrindavan. Today also we were fortunate to have somebody from Vrindavan, Bhagyara Prabhu, who's staying in Vrindavan, Govardhan, helping in the ceremony of Krishna Balaram. He is actually worshipping Krishna Balaram in Govardhan. So actually our whole purpose, all of us as devotees, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, his whole mindset, his whole mood was actually the mood of Vrindavan. Mood of Vrindavan means, how can I live in Vrindavan? How can I constantly remember Krishna Balaram, Radha and Krishna, so that I can one day become qualified to go back to Vrindavan. So whenever we have such ceremony today. It is good to read something from one of our either Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll just read at least one verse from Bhagavad Gita and to help us further understand and realize more deeply what is our primary aim in life. This morning I was visiting our ISKCON temple in Hyderabad to have darshan of Sri Sri Radhanadam Mohan, and during prasadam just having some discussion about how as devotees the tendency sometimes is to be caught up or preoccupied with externals. We sometimes either minimize or forget, and we need to remind ourselves. I think that's why such occasions as today's installation of Krishna Balaram are very ideal in reminding us what our real focus should be, what our real purpose should be. Means it is more important for all of us individually to focus on the internal. Spiritual life is primarily an internal exercise, endeavor for understanding and realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So this is one of the very nice verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Which explains actually from the ninth chapter, which explains how a devotee, what are the symptoms or qualities or activities of a devotee. I think most of you are familiar with this verse. I'll just read it once or twice. Mahatmana samam matartha daivim prakritim asritaha bhajan janyanya manaso gatva bhutadimagyayam. Mahatmana samam partha daivim prakritim asritaha bhajan janyanya manaso gatva bhutadimagyayam. Mahatmanasya mamma partha daivim prakritim asritaha bhajan janyanya manaso gatva bhutadim avyayam. Translation and put forth by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O son of Krita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Everyone can repeat after me. O son of Krita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection, of the divine nature. They are fully engaged, in devotional service, because they know me, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this affected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes free from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the state of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside of Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it that the Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any other form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. So because this is the actually mood of the residents of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they are all Mahatmas. Because their very life and soul are Krishna and Balaram. They are constantly remembering, thinking about the various pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. That is why Srila Prabhupada established some of our temples as Krishna Balaram, like we have actually, that's all, not so far away. Now it seems that Krishna Balaram are wanting to come and perform some pastimes in the city. See, Krishna Balaram, they belong in the country. They belong in Vrindavan, Vrindavan's country. But maybe because we're not going there often enough, we'll come here. Reminding us, I'm here. So I see this as a very very significant about Krishna and Balaram. I'm not so qualified to talk extensively about Krishna and Balaram, but we should know that actually the activities of Krishna and Balaram, very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada, which are activities every day, Krishna and Balaram, they go out, what do? They look after the cows, they're cowherd boys, and their only friends are also cowherd boys. They only have cowherd boys. There might be a few like Madhu Mangal. Brahmanas might be there. But most of their friends are actually engaged in pasturing. When the cows are pasturing, they're engaged in actually being with the cows. don't even bother to ask how many cowherd boys are here. How many people have experience with cows. But in some of our different projects, we are trying, beginning, to look after cows. And frankly speaking, we don't know very much how to look after cows. We forget that actually Krishna was able to speak with the cows. Krishna, that is described in the 64 arts and sciences. Part of the Vedic culture, and what Krishna and Balaram, when they went to the Gurukul under Sandipani Muni, they actually learned, as nicely described, the 64 arts and sciences. Each one of them within actually one day. Generally, it takes many, many years. They learned within one day. One of them is learning how to speak with other living entities other than humans. I mean, we have a hard time speaking with human beings. But Krishna and Balaram, they knew the art of communicating, speaking. It was a two-way communication also. They could understand what they said, and they could understand what Krishna was speaking. The other day, actually, I was looking at this. We have this picture. I think most of you have seen this picture of Krishna Balaram. It's actually on a t-shirt. It's one of some t-shirts that we just printed. And Krishna Balaram surrounded by cows in Vrindavan. I was always wondering, why are the cows so small? Isn't it because Krishna and Balaram are walking, and then gopis are in the background, and the cows are like very small. And then some little understanding of this came only recently when I was in Tirupati, because it's one of possibly few temples that we have in India where they have a Goshala. And that particular day when I was visiting, the devotees happened to have acquired a very rare species of cows that when they are grown to maturity, they are this height. I'm not lying. But it is no higher than this, huh? Approximately. And this is when they're fully grown. So anyone who stands beside naturally, they'll be taller. You know. These cows, do you remember the name? The species? Anyways, they're special species of cow. And I could not believe, I was told that actually in their mature state, they give up to 10 liters of milk. 10 liters. And this is like not exactly condensed milk, but very highly concentrated, very pure milk, like maybe very thick and like that. I did not taste actually, because I was there just one day and they had just arrived. So we're still doing some research. That's part of, I think, very, very important area. If some of you are interested to get an opportunity to develop a more constant remembrance of Krishna and Balaram, possibly you can help some of us to do some research on cows. Because actually the whole Vedic culture is based on cows. Begins with cow protection. begins with, when we say cow protection, it doesn't mean that we just keep cows, maintain cows. Cow protection means a lot more. Cow protection means training, having young boys who will feel totally at ease and very responsible in spending their whole day, like Krishna and Balaram used to do, looking after cows and feeling very happy and satisfied, giving personal attention to them. The cowherd boys are practically a lost species, or at least, yeah, a vanishing species. Vanishing species. Actually, we are just, some of us are just beginning to do some research in this area. Most of us, you know, even those who are from India, do not know, for example, that just a few decades ago, maybe you have the dates possibly, there were up to some 75 species, purebred species of cows here in India. And now there are what, 33, huh? 33. One of the few temples in South India, in Karnataka, Sri Ramachandrapur, they are the ones who sponsored earlier this year this Gosamelan, which was very successful in that it attracted people from all over India and also
2 million.
People from
2 million.
2 million, huh? Yeah, 2 million people for 1 month, you know? I mean, maybe 7 or 8 days, but the whole Samelan. They had experts and many of our devotees from different centers they went. So, actually, at this Sri Ramachandramas, they don't have that species I saw in Tirupati. Mm. They were telling actually that this species is extinct. You know? And I was like surprised to see. I mean, I said, what is this? Small cow. But like, so, one aspect of the research we are doing also is one of our devotees, Bhaktavatsala, who is actually from Rajasthan, right? He was mentioning how there are, or rather there were, when things were more in proper order here in India, there were 150 different types of ghee, 100 and different qualities of ghee. Now we cannot even find one quality of ghee. Yeah. Ghee is like a rare commodity. Even so-called pure ghee, we were shocked, I think, to hear how most of the pure ghee, most of the ghee that is advertised as pure here in India, is not pure. It is adulterated. It is adulterated with buffalo ghee, and also, believe it or not, with animal fat. This has been established by our own devotees. It is written, right? Pure ghee.
Mm-hmm.
Pure ghee. It is written, must be true, huh? In Kali Yuga, what is written is not necessarily true. So that is why, actually, when we came to maybe 2 weeks ago, one devotee took the trouble to contact some friends he had in a professional laboratory to analyze different kinds of ghee. And this includes the most popular brands of ghee. I don't want to give any name. But practically speaking, all of the ghee, although written pure ghee, is not pure. What does this mean? It means that unless we keep our own cows and make our own ghee, there is no guarantee you're having pure ghee. So here we are cooking and offering to Krishna this kind of adulterated, because nowadays very few people cook in ghee. When Srila Prabhupada started the movement, actually one of the big attractions was the ghee. Was the prasadam was cooked in ghee. Everything was in ghee. And then over the years, it kind of like, you know, it went from every day to once a week for the Sunday feast. And then now it's maybe only Rajbhog, or anyways, it depends where one is. But ghee is a fundamental, means cow product, in particular ghee, is fundamental and totally essential for performing various jagyas. You cannot perform jagyas. But believe it or not, actually, I don't know how widespread this is, but I have seen with my own eyes, in the jagya, oil being used. I could not believe it. I was sitting right there. The bottle of oil, you know? The label, you know, oil. And it was being poured on the fire. And sometimes we have like jagyas, and like, you know, we're meant to offer different things, and it's like, you know, if you usually the amount that is the smallest amount is like the ghee, you know, where's the ghee, you know? So this is actually an indication of where our society, I'm not talking about Hare Krishna society in general, and of course our own society in different ways also, very, we have become very, unfortunately, very much removed and aloof from this whole dimension of what was so dear and what is so dear to Krishna Balaram. It means cows. One can still find in some villages, I'm sure here in India, as in possibly some other Asian countries, where cows is like their life and soul. I mean, without cows they cannot live. Their whole life is centered on cows. And the cows, by the cow dung that is there, and by their presence, and by milk products like that, is what gives them, makes them live, you know, sustenance. So, I once again mention this. If any of you would like to become engaged in some activity which will actually help you remember Krishna Balaram, then we are needing individuals to help extract different information regarding cows. Actually, many, many things are in connection with cows. A few days ago, I was having some discussion with Sahadev Prabhu, who just happened to talk about things in connection with this topic, and I was mentioning to him that actually during the time of the Pandavas, the original Sahadev, Pandava Sahadev, he is Sahadev Das, the original Sahadev, he was expert in cows. He actually was the appointed person in the kingdom and the the kingdom of Yudhishthira Maharaj to look at. He knew everything about cows. He would be able to, simply by smelling the urine of certain cows, he would know, because urine has different, depending on the cows also, different propensities. And he knew which kind of urine to administer to certain persons to get some particular results. There's just a kind of a small, we could say, revival in India. It has been kind of like building up a little bit for the last few years, maybe a few decades, still relatively new, of the importance and the various utilities of both cow dung and cow urine. Someone not long ago wrote one article regarding, the title was Cow Economy. Our whole economic problem can be solved not by getting a job at this place or that place. The whole economic problem of society, today's society, can be solved actually by keeping cows. Very difficult to keep cows in Hyderabad and Hyderabad. So this morning we went to a goshala. Very crowded. 300, how many? 350 cows. Huh? What's the name of that goshala?
Bhagyanagar goshala.
Bhagyanagar goshala. Lower tank. So, cows are extremely important. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Go Vendaya, Namo Namaha. That is why Krishna is called Govinda, because his favorite activity, favorite pastime is to give personal care and attention to the cows. That's why his place of residence is called Goloka, because that loka, that place, that planet, is full of cows. We cannot rightfully, properly, adequately approach and render service to Krishna and Balaram if we don't put that in the equation. If that is out of the equation, if we don't somehow connect with the care of cows and calves and bulls, we cannot properly serve Krishna and Balaram. How we can serve someone without understanding what is their mood? The whole idea about service is to understand what that person likes, how I can please that person. So their thought, their mood, their lives is centered around cows. How can we serve them if we're not connected with cows? So actually, when one analyzes more deeply, the whole Vedic culture is based actually on cow protection. On both land and cows. In the Shastra it mentions that one cannot, should not do agriculture without cows. Now we are trying. We are trying. Prabhupada used to mention that today's advanced civilization, so-called advanced civilization, they think they can do better than what Krishna has arranged by nature. They're trying to improve on material nature. Material nature is already arranged in a natural way, how land is meant to be cultivated, how cows are an integral, essential feature, component for cultivating land. So, anyways, today's small event that we're having, not only we would like to thank Gopal Krishna Prabhu and Mataji for giving us that opportunity, we'd like to thank all those. I've seen some people leave. I hope they're getting to Kishara.
I'd like to keep
on. Okay, yeah. We'd like to thank all of the devotees who have come for this program, and I consider it as very significant that somehow or other Krishna Balaram so mercifully has agreed to come in the middle of the city, you know, in the middle of this place doesn't seem to be so noisy. I don't know, maybe it gets noisy at times, but in this way we should try to understand about Krishna Balaram, try to engage in their worship, and try to understand somehow or other, pray to them, request that Krishna Balaram give us the good intelligence. Krishna gives the intelligence. He's the one that gives us the proper intelligence, how we can nicely engage in their devotional service, keeping in mind something that is very dear to them, that means the cows, the calves, and the bull. So, actually, Sadhu Prabhu has, I'll just let him add a few things to this question.
How many of you are using Colgate or Pepsodent or the Western toothpaste? Please raise your hand.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. So, among devotees, we should use cow products. That's not only this toothpaste, they have poisonous chemicals. In US brands, they say below 6 years they should not use this toothpaste. So we have in our books, at least the devotees or the followers of Guru Maharaj, we should use cows. Prabhupada mentions this cow's toothpaste made up of cow dung in several places. This is a very, very antiseptic thing. It's a black color. So at least devotees we should use. Also cow urine consumption is helping so many cows to be saved from slaughter, cruel transport and slaughter. And if you take cow urine, it's very good. And similarly, we have these cow soaps. So at least the devotees, we should use these cow products and propagate these cow products. Down the line somewhere, this will save and propagate, save the life of some cow and propagate our cow protection. So this is a very important area, as the Guru Maharaj mentioned. The cow humanity, without cow there is no humanity. It's just two-legged animalism. Without taking darshan of the cow, without being with the cow, without patting the cow, without smelling the products of the cow, there is no humanity without cow. So in whatever way we can, though we are living in the city, there are so many cows, they are loitering on the street. So some chapati or some food, what we cook, first chapati generally in the Vedic tradition is given to cows. So as devotees at least, we should make sure in summer we should pass out a bucket of water if we see cow thirsty or cow injured, we should contact some. So yes, to become Krishna consciousness means to become cow consciousness. And wherever there is cow, there is Krishna. And where there is no cow, there is no Krishna.
Any short question?
Yes. Many of our relatives, they are maintaining cow and dairy farms.
Many of our
relatives.
Relatives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they have a lot of cows in the dairy farms.
Yes.
And I still remember some 10 years back, they were having cheap cows.
Yes.
Now they have only one cow, one or two.
Yes.
When I asked them and inquired them, they are saying that they are not able to maintain, they have become old now. And not getting good income, they are saying.
Yes.
And this is the reason they are giving. When I say that why not selling the cows, they have 15 cows and they only 2 cows. They are saying that practically it's not possible to maintain cows. And they have become old, they are no, there is a labor shortage. These are the reasons they are giving. And they are still in the city. Why this is happening, Maharaj?
Because people are not Krishna conscious. Because people don't know that actually cows are not meant for giving some cows are not meant for making money. Milk is not meant actually to be a commodity for selling. One can exchange if one has extra, but when one's main purpose, primary purpose for having cows is milk production, this is wrong understanding. In the Vedic culture, certain things are meant to be given in charity, always. Cows are meant to be given in charity. Land is meant to be given in charity. Knowledge is meant to be given in charity. Milk is also meant to be given in charity. Food is meant to be given in charity. When we are not aware, that means we are lacking proper knowledge. So most people who are selling cows, etc., like this, of course, it's a combination of the whole, you know, modern system which we are all of us, we are caught up in this modern system, which is actually very, very wrong in that it is simply giving emphasis on material well-being and getting people, training people into this whole consumerism mentality. So the big problem actually is that the majority of people have been in different ways allured and tricked into coming to the cities. And that's not natural. That's why we are living actually in a very unnatural way at present. And whereas before, if we go back maybe 50 years ago, a lot more people were still living in the country and were able to meet their various needs because they were living a more simple life. Now, through different kinds of propaganda, we have created, we have invented various needs that actually are not there. We want to have so many different so-called facilities, material facilities, through machines, this and that. Majority of these are actually not necessary. People used to live very happily, meeting all of their needs. I'll give you an example. One of our devotees near Nizamabad, Gorachandra Prabhu, who came to see me yesterday. They celebrated their, you know, Janmashtami festival. He did not have to spend one paisa. They're having rice and different foods from their garden, and the people automatically. Vedic culture is like that. People, they come, they donate when there's a festival, etc. And decoration, you don't have to go to the corner store to buy anything. You decorate with leaves from mango leaves and like that. You know. So in other words, we find ourselves in this predicament to a large extent because we have allowed ourselves due to proper knowledge. So suffering comes due to lack of knowledge. Suffering is caused by ignorance. Ignorance means lack of knowledge. Therefore, all of us, as devotees, have a prime responsibility to educate ourselves, to begin with, to educate ourselves also, not only, you know, in some superficial manner, but in a practical way, how, for example, within the system of anasrama, so many different material arts and sciences, how to, like, to look after cows, one may say, that is not spiritual, but actually it's very spiritual, because cows are Krishna's closest and most intimate creatures, living entities, devotees, because cows serve the Lord in so many ways. That's why Krishna worships the cows. The whole Leela of Giri Govardhan is in connection with worshipping Govardhan and worshipping the cows. Govardhan is worshipped because Govardhan provides food and shelter for the cows. So Krishna worships the cows more than he worships the brahmanas. They're more important than the brahmanas. So due to lack of knowledge, due to lack of our what it means, what is the meaning of our dharma, our principles of dharma, therefore we have come to this position. So in other words, the solution is to cultivate knowledge, to acquire knowledge. And that begins with those of us who are somehow, you know, more closely connected, either living in the temple or initiated devotees or chanting already, then we are in a better position to cultivate this knowledge and to try and share that and bring that. So I'm just looking at the time here. It's already past 3 o'clock. So what's the next program? Arati, eh? Temple is here, eh? Where's okay. So we'll have Arati and then after probably Prasadam. Okay. My glasses are somewhere. Glasses. Oh, they're underneath. Yeah. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Soda Primanandi.
Srinipati Raghu Shri Maharaj ki,
Jai.